Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
God has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our habitations. He's even decided that I should be born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The spirits come from God. And however it works, by His great appointment, I don't know how it works. God is God, not me. But somehow the right spirit came at the right time to the right mother and daddy, to the right place. And for such a time as this, I believe that I have come to the kingdom. And for such a time as this, you have come to the kingdom. This time that we're approaching and this time that we're in is probably the most important time of this age, the church age. I would have thought that God would have chosen people like Peter and Paul and Mary to be now living. But instead, He chose you and me. And it seems like they were the far great ones, and here we are, you know, just kind of, well, you know, ordinary. We know each other. But we're serving a God who's not ordinary. And probably Peter and Paul felt the same things about themselves. Well, I'm just a fisherman. This and this, but God chose them and God equipped us and God's bringing the work around. As we heard the prophets say change, then the world began to change. I saw the Ayatollah Khomeini die. And God spoke to me when he died. I'm not going to go into all that right now. We'll maybe later on. Then we saw the wall fall. No war, no conference, no international summit was called to draw up papers for the falling of the wall. The wall fell. Brother Hilly told us that he did a television special, and a pastor who knows, and I've heard this also from five East German pastors who were here, they were praying to God that the wall would fall and there would be no bloodshed when it fell. But where do you think they got the idea to pray that now? They got that from God. I don't believe they just decided one day we're going to pray that the wall falls. God moves on people, Holy Ghost people, to begin to pray. And they begin to pray out the one who made it all. They begin to pray out what God ordered to be done. And I know that you're here in this place and that you believe in prayer and that God told you to pray and you to begin. And here you sit. For such a time as this, you've come to the kingdom. And sometimes you can be right in the middle of something. You don't realize what's happening. You can be even lied to by the devil. Oh, this is nothing. This is just normal, natural stuff. But it's not normal, natural stuff. It's very, very super natural. And you're with a supernatural God. This isn't a natural church. This is a supernatural church born at the right moed. And for such a time as this, you've come to the kingdom. You have to die to the flesh as much as you can. Help God by just killing your old flesh out. Not the old man in your spirit. He's gone, but that flesh. And walk and live. And we're going to have to walk and live in the spirit now. You have to walk and live and follow God. No man has written a book about how to pastor a church in the last days across the street from NASA. Nobody ever did it. But Jesus knows how to do it. And the Holy Ghost knows how to lead you in it. Paul was out on Mars Hill. Oh, such a place that was in the world economy of that day. And here you are in Houston. World economic, if books are being written, and they are, the Bible says that they're still writing books. We'll read those books when we go to heaven. It says that God listens in and writes things down. I used to teach a class at Rhema on publication. I found a lot of books that are still being written. And we're in them. And they may read them during the millennial age. They may read them. God may let them be printed. I don't know. Here's how they made it. Here's how they did it. But whatever, for such a time as this, we have come to the kingdom. And there's no other way for us to look than to our God who made it all and to our inner selves where He lives and dwells and does a great work. And of course, in His Word, by His Spirit. I love the timing of God. I thank God that on our last trip to Israel, we were in the right timing, and I almost missed it. I almost put it off to another date, and thank God for Betty Oak. She wouldn't let me do it. She held my feet to the fire, and she said, no, this is when we're supposed to go, and this is when we're going. So I wanted to have about 40 people, and we only had 27 people, and I thought, you know, if we put it off for a month or two, we can get more, and we'll take 40. But the timing was important. I'm going to read you some from my diary. And I left my real diary at home. I brought the wrong year. I have books, you know, it's 1989, 1990, and I brought 1989 instead of 1990. So I had to make up my diary out of my notebook. And I'm going to read this to you. We have to go a day early now to New York because of security. Little Israel, the size of New Jersey, is surrounded by vast lands who do not want them to exist, who do not want their presence in the Middle East, and would love to destroy them. There's nothing the terrorists would like better than to blow an LL plane out of the sky. And so the security has increased in such a measure, you can hardly believe it. We go a day early, and we stay the night in New York, and then we take our people over to security. And Betty Oakes has gotten, Betty is Shelley's mother-in-law, and she travels with us, and she arranges all the trips to Israel. And she has made such good friends with the El Al security people that if we come a little early, they help us to get through without going through all your socks and underwear. And so we go a day early, and then also we speak to the people at the hotel, and we tell them our mission. And sometimes it's a little difficult because they feel that maybe they should go over and preach on the street corners, and we can't do that. God has tied us so in with the Israeli government people, and he has tied us so in with Shulamit Katzenelson and her family who have just grown up with all the leaders of Israel. We ended up in the prime minister's office. And we couldn't be there and doing the things that we're doing if we had preached on the street corner. So we have to tell the people, you know, that our lives are going to have to live Jesus. We're going to have to just, with our very lives and our witness and the power and the miracles and the things that they see over and over and over again. So we take the people there, and I mentioned that at 1 o'clock we had our meeting. I taught regarding the diaspora and the fulfilling of God's word with the return of the Russian Jews. I gave information for going through security. Finished with the group, I went upstairs to lie down and stretch out one last time before boarding the plane. And as I lay down, a thought came quietly, just two words, your passport. It was the first time I'd thought of it since 3 weeks before. I usually carry my passport with me in a case, and it was real heavy, and I decided to take it out and file it under passport, and I had forgotten all about it and hadn't even thought of it. Less than 4 hours till we leave, I rushed over to El Al. Betty's God-given favor, such a blessing, the head of security okayed my traveling with a copy of my passport, which was faxed to us. We met at the, and then the next day we are, now that's a miracle to go in this day and age into Israel with no passport. We were met at the airport after the flight by Shulamit Katzenelson. The first time she's met us at the door within the airport, she was accompanied by a representative of the Ministry of Tourism. They had a big sign prepared, and the lady from the Ministry of Tourism said, "This is the reception given to VIPs." Thank God I needed it. She walked through my illegal entry in these days, and she also walked us through customs with our goods we'd taken for the Soviet Jews. Everybody took an extra suitcase filled with things for the Soviet Jews who were coming back. Then I wrote, and this is the point I wanted to make to you. I wrote this right here. You see this writing? Supper at the Ulpan with a cantor for Shabbat. Then the last two words I put is quiet evening. At that very moment when I was writing quiet evening, terrorist speedboats were headed toward 2 miles from the spot where I lay sleeping. Terrorist speedboats. It could have been like, I didn't see the movie Jaws, but they tell me that when Jaws was in the water, they were going ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Just as I wrote quiet evening, there was a ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. We had landed in Israel about 5 o'clock on Pentecost. And the evening of Pentecost, you know, with the Jews, they have the evening and the morning is the day. So Pentecost begins at sundown. Any day begins at sundown of one day and ends the next day. At about the time of the evening, when the day was beginning, as our plane landed about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a mothership from Libya, a terrorism, they had been planning this for more than a year, terrorists were trained in Libya. They got on a freighter. They put 6 speedboats on a freighter. Did you hear about it? And those speedboats were loaded with Katyusha rockets, all kinds of military equipment, and guns and everything to destroy lots and lots of cannons, lots and lots and lots of people. They took the 6 speedboats. They brought them on this mothership. We must have flown over the mothership. And just then, as we landed, exactly the time we landed, the speedboats came off the mothership. 6 of them. 2 of them sunk immediately. And the other 4, one thing and then another, happened. But finally, 2 of them headed toward the shore, where on the Feast of Pentecost, not all the Jews are exactly religious on the Feast of Pentecost. Many of them go to the beaches in Tel Aviv, thousands and thousands and thousands. And their plan was to have these terrorist speedboats come and make a Y past the Tel Aviv point. They were going to come in a Y shape. And they were going to go above Tel Aviv and below Tel Aviv. Then they were going to go along the shoreline, and they were going to kill all the people that they could kill. Their orders were kill young, kill old, kill everybody as with your rockets as fast as you can. And 2 of them were headed toward the place where we slept. They were seen. They were the first ones seen. Thank God. The Bible says, and in Hebrews, that nothing. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews and read that. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You might not know that danger is approaching you, but he knows it.
Yeah.
The first time this word was quickened to me, we were in the Soviet Union about to make, it was August 1980, and we were about to deliver some ink to the underground press. And I got up that morning knowing what we had to do, and I got scared. And the Lord quickened this scripture to me. There couldn't be any KGB agents following us that he didn't know about. And even though I couldn't see that, he could see it.
Yeah.
And that night as I wrote down, all is quiet, quiet evening. It wasn't a quiet evening. But even in our ignorance, thank God, he, the one with whom we have to do, we can trust him. And in our ignorance, plots, evil plots, terrible things can be hatched against you. But he knows about them and can foil them if you walk in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91, when we go to Israel, is our byword. We wouldn't get up and dare get up in the morning and leave without Psalm 91. And we had it that day.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.